Good evening again. This is Zoe, and I just wanted to give you all the email address again. If you want to send any questions in to be asked at the forum, the email address is forum@pinedaleonline.com. I was chatting with Bob a minute ago, and he said that there have not been very many questions coming in via email. So, hey, seize the opportunity to have your question heard. If you're not able to attend there in person and ask it live, email it to forum@pinedaleonline.com because Dawn Ballou is there, and she is listening. You don't listen for emails. You know what I'm talking about. It's way too late for me. All right. She's looking for those emails, and we'd be glad to get that question posed for you. All right, I want to take one more moment too and thank again our sponsors, Pinedale Collision Center, Wild Horse Realty, Diamond G Electric, and Slider Construction. I know we'll be right back with the Town Hall Forum there in the Marbleton Town Hall in just a moment with our candidates. All right, everyone, this is Zoe again, and we are going to return live back to the Marbleton Town Hall. I'm going to turn you back over to Bob Rule.
Thank you, Zoe. We are back again. Broadcasting on KPIN 101.1 FM in Pinedale, and also we have almost a full house here at the Town Hall in Marbleton. For anybody who wants to join us, there are several seats, actually, that opened up during that break. Come join us in person. You're welcome to Marbleton Town Hall. I think Zoe made an announcement over the air to encourage listeners to send emailed questions in to forum@pinedaleonline.com. Dawn Ballou of pinedaleonline.com is in the back of the room printing them out as they come in, and we're seeking your input so we can ask questions of these candidates. Be sure to put on your email which race the question is for. But now that we've reconvened, let's turn it back to Casey Dean and go another round or two. I'm thinking maybe, 8:30 or something like that is what we might shoot for to wrap this up. Here's Casey Dean.
8 o'clock. I think we can just say there will be three more rounds of questions. Send them in, and if we get to push it to the top, we will. Excellent questions will be pushed to the front. We have three questions. The light is at the end of the tunnel, and you can see it. All right. And issues that it faces.
Answering first, Jacob Porter.
I've looked through most of the articles I could find. I've attended meetings where I can. That's part of the problem I found is it's hard to find information about the healthcare district. They've got a website on Sublet County's homepage that you can go to, but all it gives you is the names and numbers to the board members. So I think it'd be a good place to start by putting some information on that website for the public so they can educate themselves a little bit better.
That is Jacob Porter. Next, Shannon Cave.
I have also pretty much done what Jacob has done to try to educate myself on what's going on with the board. I would also like to see more information be available to people to find out what is going on. Thank you.
Next, Scott Sherbel.
My information on the issues has come from the people of the community who have approached me and said, hey, this is what I'm concerned about, and these are the issues, and this is where I think we need to be going. And so it's been an education from those who are most concerned about the direction of the rural health care.
Scott Sherbel responding. Next will be Laura Clark.
Echo some of the frustration with not being able to find information. The newspapers do provide some. I've been highly entertained by some of the letters to the editor and very encouraged by some of them, too. I have to agree with Jacob. I think that, you know, there is a website. Let's utilize it. Let's get that information out there. Again, if there is nothing to hide, don't try to hide it. Put it out there. Be responsible. Give it to the community. Give it to the citizens. And be responsible about it. The other thing that I have done, I have looked at, earlier we were talking about wages and wage cuts. I have looked at that across the nation to see how we compare. in different areas. That was extremely interesting. Getting those signs again. Anyway, so there are some things that I think that we can improve. I think that everyone has the right to know what's going on with the board and the operations of, and I think it should be more accessible.
Rick Clark responding. That's Dave. You told me how to rhyme it, but I didn't want to rhyme it out loud. But Dave Rossich.
Jimmy Dean. The I guess as a board member, one of the responsibilities I feel is that a board member strives to make every meeting possible. I would like to implement some rules governing that. That if board members are not, they have to be excused, have a written excuses to miss meetings, because this is a crucial time in our health care. And I think that the things that the website is nice. Again, that costs money to develop all that. That takes time. The big thing right now is that if people want to call our offices, there are people there to answer those questions. The board, I have yet to receive a phone call to know what's going on. If my number's in the phone book, 307-367-6863. Thank you.
Dave Rossich. Dave is the incumbent right now on the healthcare board. All of the other people responding tonight are first time, to my knowledge, seeking a seat for the first time. Next respondent, Jacob Porter. Or is that where we started? So we're done on this round. All right, that means back to Casey Dean as we now go on to county attorney.
Explain when and why it is appropriate to bring in a special prosecutor.
And responding is Neil Stelting.
You got to push that little thing all the way up. I was told it was better down here and it was crackly back there. A special prosecutor is necessary to bring in whenever you have a conflict, whenever there is a case against or allegations of criminal actions against a sheriff, for instance, or when you've got allegations against a commissioner, for instance, or someone within the county. And this, I believe the role of a special prosecutor is important, but I believe that when I become county attorney, I can save the county a lot of money with how I use special prosecutors. Instead of hand-picking preferential prosecutors from places like Gillette, who I've worked with for years in the past, and bringing them at the taxpayer's dollar all the way across the state to look into cases against the sheriff, for instance. I will submit emails to all of the prosecutors who I have great relationships with on this side of the state, and I will make sure that we have a working relationship. When they need a special prosecutor, I come to their aid. When I need one, they come to mine, and we have an exchange system that does not cost the taxpayers of Sublette County.
Neil Stelting responding. Next, Lucky McMahon. And I believe Lucky's going to walk up here and get into the good zone.
Well, I guess if it's crackling, I want to be in the good spot, too.
All right. Now it's not crackling.
Thank you. The county attorney's office already has an agreement with the surrounding prosecutors to exchange cases for special prosecutors whenever it's possible. We do go to outside attorneys whenever we cannot find anyone locally that has the time or the manpower to assist us in it. Special prosecutors for whenever there's a statute that allows us to have special prosecutors whenever there's a conflict. The conflicts also include, like Mr. Stelting said a few minutes ago, that because he only did misdemeanors, that he would be doing felonies as a county attorney, that he would not have that many conflicts. But a special prosecutor is required to come in if a county attorney has a conflict. His entire office is conflicted out. And so as far as saving money, that would not save the county money, because every case he as a public defender ever had any part in or civilly would end up having to bring a special prosecutor out of the county. And believe me, it is not always possible, not even half the time, to get someone to do it for free. Thank you.
Lucky McMahon, candidate for Sublette County Attorney. Now we shift over to House District Number 20. Casey Dean has a question for them. Casey?
extension. Okay, House District 20, what will you do to ensure Sublette County is in its own House District when redistricting is finally done?
Responding is Jim Nicholson.
Well, if I can get to Cheyenne, I will make sure when redistricting is done, it is not gerrymandered all over the southern half of Wyoming. That when they redistrict in 12, Sublette County needs somebody there.
Jim Nicholson. Next, Kathy Davison.
I would certainly support that. My district is 350 miles one way. It takes in Colkville, Kemmer, Farson, North Rock Springs, Eden, Big Piney, Marvelton, and LaBarge. So, yes, it needs to be that way. However, I do think I've done a good job of representing the entire district. Thank you.
Kathy Davison responding. Well, I think we have two more rounds of questions to go. Forum@pinedaleonline.com is the email address, and please state which race you are directing it to. Casey, next question.
Okay. Rural Healthcare District. There is room for more cuts with EMS while still providing adequate coverage 24/7, 365.
Responding first will be Shannon.
That is definitely something that if I am elected to the board, I definitely need to check into. I really do not have an answer for that question right at this second. It would be something I would need to look into. Thank you.
Shannon Cave. Next will be Scott Sherbel.
I'm sure this is probably one of the most sensitive issues of the campaign and the Rural Health Care Board. The budget I've heard and been told about for the EMTs is astonishing, to say the least, and I think there has to be room for cuts in that service without reducing the service. I know the number of runs they're making equals that, which was done when we had a whole different system of EMTs. I think we can provide adequate service without the high expense of it. That's not to say that we're not receiving good service from the personnel, but the methodology and setup is, there's got to be room for cuts there. I don't know exactly what they would be or how they would happen, but some EMTs are making more than our nurses and their other health care, and that just doesn't seem right based on the amount of training they have. So, yes, I would support something there.
Responding was Scott Sherbel. Our next respondent to the question will be Laura.
I don't think anybody is exempt from pay cut or wage cut or budgetary cut. I think that absolutely that is something that can be looked at. I think that the overhead that I have seen has been exorbitant. And as I said before, in comparing that to other EMT services across the nation, it's extremely high. After saying that, I will say, however, we do live in a county that is very spread out, and we do have people in very remote areas, and we have accidents that happen in very, very remote areas, one of the things we love about this place, the reasons we live here. So I think that there has to be a balance. I think there can be a balance, but I think that, as I said at first, there is no one is exempt from cuts.
Clark responding. Dave Rossich.
Our EMS director, Will Gay, and our CEO looked at a lot of different avenues to try and reduce overtime, to try and reduce miles, coverage, and we've almost got caught short a couple times. So as far as leaving the county uncovered, that became crucial, and I felt that along with the doctors and everybody that represents these clinics, that wasn't we need the people out on the road when those accidents occur. However, budgetary things are going to come up all the time. I'm not in favor of cutting EMS at all or anybody at this time. We can always look at, again, reducing wages, but I think we have enough people right now to cover everything and continue the health care that we do have now.
Dave Rossich responding. Next candidate, Jacob Porter.
Well, I think there's some changes that could be made here, and there's a lot of ways around it. Right now, there's a number of EMTs that don't live in the county, and I think if you concentrate on bringing some of these jobs back to Sublette County, it opens up more EMTs to be on call, because if they're not living in the county, you're not going to have backup. So there's a lot of different things we can look at to help solve this problem.
Responding was Jacob Porter. Next, Shannon Cave. You started. We are done with this round. All right, then, with a brand new question, the editor of the Pinedale Roundup, Casey Dean.
We're moving to the county attorneys. We only have two questions left. What is your tutorial for juvenile offenders?
Responding first will be Lucky McMahon.
Thank you. My prosecutorial philosophy for juveniles is that, depending on the degree of the crime, how many past offenses they have, there are a lot of factors that you take into consideration. Juveniles are going to make mistakes, and they need to have breaks. We put a diversion program into place that, since its beginning, has grown. We've now had over 22 graduates or successful people who have gone through the juvenile diversion program. Right now, I can tell you that we have more juveniles in our juvenile diversion program than we have in the juvenile delinquency program. We look at a large set of factors, how willing the family is to work with the county attorney's office and the judge and the court system to get treatment, to get help, to try to work as a family unit. And each one is done on an individual basis.
Lucky McMahon. Responding next will be Neil Stelting, as he also walks away from the dead zone and gets to where the wireless mic will work.
I kind of like this runway. I have to agree with most everything Lucky said, and I'm glad to see that the county attorney's office is finally utilizing those philosophies in dealing with juveniles. I would say that probably half of the people who have donated to my campaign are families who have felt that the county attorney's office has been heavy-handed. The juvenile diversion program that was actually started by Ralph Boynton, the county attorney's predecessor, was not utilized up until about March of this year. There were 16 entries into that program over a three-year period. And since campaign season began, and since this became a platform issue that I raised initially in the media, they released an article not long ago in the Examiner that they now have over 40 juveniles in the program. And so whether or not my campaign for election is successful, I feel like the process has been a good one, and there has been some necessary change, and I feel like opportunities are being provided to juveniles that weren't there before. So that's regarding how I would handle them, much the same as Lucky just described.
We're going to go ahead and give Lucky the chance to rebut that. 30 seconds.
Get another 30 seconds.
I think it's a skilled politician that can find a way to take credit for a program that someone else is doing. Our program has been in place. I went into office in July, and within 3 months we had the program in place. We had 16 juveniles in the program before this election campaign ever started, and we are proud of our juvenile program and will continue to work with it.
Lucky McMahon responding. Casey?
House District 20. If elected or reelected, what laws will you pursue in the 2011 legislative session?
Responding first is Kathy Davison.
Been working on some states' rights laws. I've also been working on some looking at some more tax bills. there's a lot of laws out there. I've also been asked to co-sponsor some gun bills. So there's a lot of things coming up, and at this point, I don't know where we're at, but we're working on a lot of those issues. Also, we're looking on some eminent domain.
Kathy Davison. Next, House District Number 20 candidate, Jim Mickelson.
Kathy pretty well summed it up when there's one other area that I would look at and look at very hard, and that is water. We have got to do something to protect our water. Once these downriver states get a hold of it, we'll never see it again. So that's one thing that I would really work at is water.
Candidate Jim Mickelson. This brings us down to, I think, our final round of questions. Now, to the radio audience who has been listening, especially those of you living in the Marble Piney area, we will be engaging in informal discussion with the candidates. Many of them have literature out on the back bench, the back tables. They're happy to talk on one, and some of you who have not been here yet, feel free to jump in your car, come join us, and at least have a chance to meet the candidates in person. Well, for our final round of questions here on KPIN Pinedale, see, I got the station ID on, here's Casey Dean.
Nice timing. All right, guys, last one. As a board member, would you support requiring district administrators to reside within the county? Excuse me. Why or why not?
Responding first will be...
I think that's an absolute necessity. I do not think, and this applies across the board, not just in rural health care, but in school board and in principals and in many of our personnel. I think living within the community allows the person to understand and know the real issues and can't hide from them, and just the economic factors of having our people serving that we're paying for living in our community, helping to repay us for being here. I think it's absolute necessity.
Scott Sherbel responding. Our next respondent to the final question, Laura Clark.
I have to say amen to what Scott said. If we cannot have someone in who will actually stay, live, and be a part of our county, then they will not give proper representation to the people of this county. They also take the tax dollars or their money somewhere else and not spend it here and help out our communities. Therefore, they may not feel that real obligation to serve our members. So I agree with Scott wholeheartedly on this. Absolutely, yes.
Laura Clark responding. Next will be Dave Rossage.
When this campaign began, I also, that was one of my key points, that I want to have a CEO that lives in the county. I want doctors that live in the county. And I also want EMTs that live in the county. That is all part of where it's our county. It's a thing we live for. And I think that's very important to me anyway, as part of what they give and what we give to them, what they give back.
Dave Rossage responding. Next, Jacob Porter.
Well, I think the other three covered everything pretty well. Like Dave said, it's not just CEO, but it's all Sublette County. We need to keep jobs in the county and keep taxpayer dollars in the county.
Jacob Porter. Next, Shannon Cave.
I agree with everybody so far. All employees should have to reside in this county. And I also believe that anybody that works for the county should have to put in their required 40 hours at this county if that's what they are required to do. Thank you.
Candidate Shannon Cave. And this completes the questioning of the rural... Remember, you will be... vote for all three. Your ballot is disqualified. But of these seats will be filled in the primary election on August 17th. Going on next to County Attorney, back to Casey for a new question.
Question. Are you satisfied with the current management and reporting requirements of the Wyoming Sex Offenders Registry Program?
Bonding first will be Neil Stelting.
I think it's important when you take it, when you're in a debate or you're talking to the public, that you acknowledge when you don't have enough information to make a decision. And I've not represented more than a handful of sex offenders as a public defender, and those were felony cases. And I'm not familiar with the exact requirements of that law. I don't know if there are deficiencies. I don't know if there could be better safeguards for the community. In the event that I make it into the county attorney's office and have responsibility regarding that law, if there are deficiencies, I will certainly work with any legislature in order to repair any loopholes that may be there that put our community at risk.
Neil Stelting responding. And responding next, Sublette County Attorney, our incumbent, Lucky McMahon.
Well, I never think that there are strict enough laws on the requirement for registering and letting us know where the sex offenders are at all times. There was important legislation passed last summer that did tighten some of the loopholes. There were some issues that they had to tell the person where they were leaving that county, but they were supposed to report in our county in 3 days, but there was no one to follow up on that to make sure that was done. I know the sheriff's office is working diligently. They have a person that works directly with finding out who the sex offenders are in our community, making sure they're registered. If they don't register within 3 days, they're arrested, and we prosecute them for that. And it is a felony not to register in a community that you go into. Prosecutors across the state are working constantly trying to get those laws stiffened and tightened so that people can know in their own neighborhoods and their school districts who the sex offenders are and where they're living, so they will know if their children or if their schools are at danger.
Responding is Lucky McMahon, and this completes the county attorney responses. Now, when we were talking to the members of the Rural Healthcare District, they are running as a nonpartisan race. And this means whether you vote a Democratic ballot, a Republican ballot, or an independent ballot in the August 17th primary, these people will be on all of the ballots, and everybody gets to vote for them. On the other hand, on county attorney, Lucky McMahon and Neil Stelting are running as Republicans. They will only be found on the Republican primary ballot. And likewise, Kathy Davison and Jim Mickelson are both Republicans. They will only be found on the Republican ballot. For those of you who wish to change your party affiliation, register. Casey, back to you for the final question of the evening.
Okay. Should the state raise severance taxes on oil and gas as suggested by the Equality State Policy Center last month?
Responding first, Jim Mickelson. Mickelson. And responding next, our current representative for House District 20, Kathy Davison.
I have to agree with Jim. I think the industry is doing a good job. I think there's some things that they can be made to make them make things a little more fair. But I think that our industry pays a good share, and we wouldn't have what we have now without that industry. So we don't want to kill the one. Killer cow, you know. I think we need to make sure that we're very careful when we look at that. Thank you.
To Kathy Davison. Well, this concludes our lines of questions. Have a chance to this. It's their facility we're using. So, citizens of Marvelton, thank you for the facility that you let us use here. It's a beautiful place to hold the meetings, first time we've ever done a broadcast out of this room. And, of course, a big candidates for coming and participating. Thank you to Casey Dean and the Pinedale Roundup. Casey did the lion's share of the work here. Let's give her a hand.
due to the fact that we're not able to hear Bob there on the what he's saying there at the Marvelton Town Hall at the end there, we kind of lot a pretty poor connection. I know he's doing a lot of thank yous to everyone, and I wish to give my own thank yous. Thank you to PinedaleOnline.com. That's Don Ballou. Thank you to Casey Dean at the Sublet Examiner, Derek Farr and Trey at the Casey Dean's at the Pinedale Roundup. Derek Farr and Trey at the Sublet Examiner, and also, you know, Bob Rule at KPIN. And we have some pretty amazing sponsors. They are Pinedale Collision Center, Wild Horse Realty, Diamond G Electric, and Slider Construction. Thank you, everyone, and have a great night.